Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity to come before you, Lord. We know that there are many who can't meet like this, O Lord. Many are meeting in underground churches. Father, we thank you that we can come to you openly, Lord. We thank you for your presence, your power. We ask you, Lord, to bless this word, O Lord, that you have laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that you will make a way where there seems to be no way, that you will release streams of refreshing, O Lord, and that you will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Thank you, Lord, that I will decrease and you increase. Anoint us, O Lord, that this word will fall on good soil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to speak on a word from Lamentations. I know that book is a book that nobody reads, I believe. So, in today's teaching letter that Pastor Noble has given us, there was something that spoke to me about this word today. In a few excerpts from his teaching letter, the cry of our hearts are based on the signs of our times. Preparation is the cry of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be restored. So that was the cry of Jeremiah when he wrote the book of Jeremiah. And he didn't stop there, he went on to another book. It's believed that Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. And this was a book, it was a lamentation of a funeral of a city during the period between 586 and 587 before Christ. And this was the city Jerusalem, which was once proud, and she's reduced to rubble by the Babylonian invasion. There were thousands and thousands were killed. And the sufferings of this people, where they had no food, no water, and it was dead bodies all around. But sometimes we wonder why a book like this was written. But 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, Lamentations, I think, is a very important book, which has only 5 chapters, and it's like a funeral poem, 5 poems put together, but there's something beautiful that comes out of it, like beauty for ashes, I would say. So, in Lamentations 4:10, it says, the hands of the pitiful women had sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people, which means they had even eaten the children's bodies. Or they killed their children, I'm not too sure about that, but they had even eaten their children, which is a very sad thing. They were almost cannibals, but they had nothing to eat, so that's what they did. So Jerusalem means a city of peace. That's the meaning of it, and an abode of peace, but it was far from peaceful. So, but Jeremiah wrote this book, and I think God used him to write all these records and show who God was. So if you look at Lamentations 3, 21 to 24, it says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. This I recall in my mind means he had hope. He finds hope in God. It's not an easy thing to find hope in God when he sees this. So if you look at Lamentations, a brief description of it. The five chapters give the desolation of Jerusalem, the anger of God, Jeremiah's cry of despair, confidence in the Lord, conditions of the siege, and repentance and restoration which comes at the end. So before we go to look at the rest of the passage, let us look at a brief description of this man of God. He was known as a weeping prophet. He cried a lot. God calls him in Jeremiah 1:6, and he said, when God calls him, Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak." But God says, and he says, "I'm a child." But God says, "No. Whatsoever I command, then you shall speak. That you shall speak." So he spoke. And he was called to preach nothing but judgment. That's what he preached for 40 years. He was there in the time of five kings, and he spoke, preached nothing but judgment. And then in Jeremiah 16 it says, he was forbidden to marry, so he knew loneliness. He wept for the sin of his people, and he was imprisoned by Zedekiah, the king, before the invasion, during the time of the Babylonian invasion. And when he preached, none, not one, not that they didn't understand, but not one listened to him. They mocked him, they ridiculed him, they wanted to kill him. They asked him to shut up. So imagine all around him was stench and rotting flesh, the smell of death, and no food, no water. I can understand what he went through when thousands and thousands of people have fallen to their death. Because when there was a tsunami that came to Sri Lanka in the year 2004, the day after Christmas, it happened away from the city of Colombo, about 100 kilometers away. But we just went there a month later. This is a month later. And we went in an air-conditioned vehicle where the shutters were right up. But we could smell the smell of death, the rotten flesh. They had even buried the dead, but there would have been carcasses in some places. But you could smell it even that day. So imagine Jeremiah when he was writing Lamentations. So I believe he preached for 40 years, and this could have been averted, but they didn't listen to him. But he didn't say, "Do you remember I preached to you? Do you remember now it serves you right that you didn't listen to me?" No, he didn't say that. He was sad for them. He cried out. He was sorrowful. That's why that book is called Lamentations. So people might think God is not there. It's a mountain out of a molehill. And the accuser may come and say, "Give up now." But he wasn't going to give up. He didn't look at the hopelessness around him, but he didn't look at the things around him, but he looked up to God. That's what we must do. Things around us may be so bad. We can see it now. This happened 586 years before Christ. But imagine now, we are much closer than that. It is worse than that as well. Worse than what Israel went through. But this was the nation, he called them the apple of his eye. But why would he allow it? But he had a reason. So, in the midst of this horrible Holocaust, Jeremiah triumphantly cries out to the Lord. And then he says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Hallelujah. So if we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just imagine them, they were thrown into that fire, but they believed in the Lord, whether they were consumed or not. They knew that the Lord would save them. So we know that we will not be consumed. So we have to take these examples which have gone before us. So sometimes we might feel we can't face tomorrow, that we have situations that we can't handle, bills we have to pay, debts we have to pay, things are beyond us, we cannot go through them. But the good news is God is on the throne. I think somebody said that in the morning. I think you said it, God is on the throne. Praise God for that. So he's ruling and reigning over every principality, power, and dominion. And we are not consumed. And his compassions fail not. And the Hebrew word for compassion means womb. The root of that word is womb. The womb is a place where the mother carries a baby for 9 months. Imagine, you're nurturing. So that's compassion, right? So you're carrying it like carrying the child in the womb, nurtured, protected. That's what we must do for people whom we meet as well. Carry them, nurture them for that amount of time. So, and then in Isaiah 43, the Lord says, "For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." What beautiful words. I'm sure I have been there, and I'm sure some of us have been there. I can testify. Maybe not the real fire, but spiritual fires. Yes. And then it says in Lamentations 3:23, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. So now, in the midst of this, Jeremiah turns this tragedy into triumph. He knows that God is faithful even unto the end. And then he says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I have hope in him." So even though there's destruction around him, God's mercies are new every morning. His resources are what we get. I think Pastor Frank mentioned in his message today in the morning that his mercies don't fail and his compassion is for us. So his gifts are fresh as a new day. His all-sufficient supply, his amazing grace. So we will never face a situation we can't handle. For he is our ever-present help in trouble. We have to make time to spend with our Lord. He loves us so much, we can't afford not to spend time with him. To receive what he has for us every morning, we have to make that attempt. Yonggi Cho, that mighty man of God, I think he has the biggest church in the world, 800,000. And he spends time with the Lord every morning. He says, "I get my anointing to lead the 800,000. If not for that, I can't lead this 800,000. He gets his anointing from the Lord early morning. And the rest of the day follows through. It's not difficult for him at all because he's got what he has requested. So, like the Israelites, in the wilderness, they got their manna in the morning. Every morning they got it, isn't it? So we too must receive our daily bread in the morning from the Lord. That's fresh manna from the Lord. He's our word, so we must go to him. Hallelujah. So, in this walk of life, he is our reward. He is our sustenance. He is our savior, our satisfier. And he is our provision. Hallelujah. And then, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And this amazing song, "Great is thy faithfulness," we didn't have the music today to sing it, but was written by a man called Thomas Obadiah Cheesham in America, in the town of Kentucky. He was born a very poor man, born in a log cabin. He was very, very poor, and he went to the country school, and by the age of 16 he became the teacher of that school because they were so poor. And it's amazing how he wrote, he grew up, he became a Methodist minister, and he was a minister only for 1 year because of sickness. So he was there only for 1 year, but he served the Lord in that 1 year. And soon after that, he wrote 1,200 poems. And out of that, 800 are circulating today, and one was this beautiful song. But he didn't die, he lived on. He started in 1866, but he went on till 1960. Amazing, isn't it? And he did the Lord's work. And this was a write-up I found about him. It's very beautiful. He wrote this poem in 1923. He later stated there was no circumstantial background for this particular poem, but simply a morning by morning realization of God's personal faithfulness. Although I did not possess the earth's riches, I felt myself to be richly blessed by God's daily mercies. In a letter dated 1941, Chisholm provided the following insight into his thinking. My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me until now. Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness. And he explained his approach to him writing in the following statement: I have sought to be true to the word and to avoid flippant and catchy titles and treatment. I have greatly desired that each hymn or poem might have some definite message to the hearts of whom it was written. So if we look at those words, great is thy faithfulness, it says. It's just from that passage from Lamentations. Out of all the destruction comes out this beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness planted by the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strengthen for today, strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Hallelujah. So, if you are walking through a difficult place, if you are lost in some way, if you are struggling with something you cannot bear, it can be physical, it can be spiritual, through a struggle, sickness, or pain, there is hope for every one of us. We may have been Christians for a long time, but if you need that experience of His faithfulness today, we can pray for you. Thank you.